In light of our discussion of the importance of providing nutrition and hydration to patients in the persistent vegetative state, I'd like to revisit something that we've looked at rather briefly and say something about both its history and perhaps its potential continued development, and that's the question of the new studies that have appeared in the medical literature on unconscious patients. We've already noted that in 2010, there was this article that appeared in the New England Journal of Medicine that significantly changed what people had thought about the persistent vegetative state. They demonstrated, again, which had been clearly stated in 2004 by Pope John Paul II, that there is frequent misdiagnosis of this condition, bearing in mind that these diagnoses are often made, so to speak, at the bedside without the use of very advanced neurological equipment, and the distinction between the persistent vegetative state and the minimally conscious state has to do with the ability of the individual to interact with the environment or to respond to or to suggest that they have some use of language. So the person who cannot respond or does not respond will be put in the category of a persistent vegetative state, even though there may be some residual awareness or intermittent, occasional awareness of their environment, which can't be detected or determined by bedside examination or study. And the 2010 article discovered that indeed approximately 40% of patients who were diagnosed as being in the persistent vegetative state were actually not in that situation according to the diagnostic categories. Now again, these researchers were using very sophisticated equipment, particularly functional magnetic resonance imaging scanning, which without going into all the details of this is quite expensive and is generally not available, certainly in rural settings or even in ordinary hospitals. But this finding was important because the same authors indicated that 10% of the patients they studied were able to willfully modulate their brain activity. That is, by being instructed to imagine themselves engaging in a particular activity, which was different from, say, a second activity, running, for example, as contrasted with hitting a tennis ball with a tennis racket. These kinds of visualized activities result in different kinds of activities in different parts of the brains that these very sophisticated scans can pick up, and it was these that enabled these researchers to discover the ability of patients to modulate brain activities. Again, this was published in the New England Journal, a very highly respected journal, and it provoked a certain amount of controversy. One recognized that a lot of people who wanted to stop nutrition and hydration in PVS patients were now confronted with the fact that many of these patients were not actually in a persistent vegetative state, and that even if they were, there might be a certain number of them who had intermittent awareness of their environment, which highlights again the fact that these people are not physiologically dying and that they would be aware of having their food and water stopped, whatever one thinks about their state of life. So a number of individuals were very discommoded by this information, and you occasionally find rather grumpy articles pointing out that, well, we shouldn't encourage families to worry about this because these advanced techniques are not necessarily available to very many patients, but that doesn't change the moral significance of these findings. One should add that one of the researchers, if you drop down to number one, which is the abstract of the article itself, if you look at the names of the individuals, one of the individuals whose name is listed is Adrian M. Owen, a PhD researcher on brain activity who had been working for many years before this on various techniques, including the technique that was used in this study of determining some existence of consciousness. And his articles had been published in learned journals like The Lancet, which is an English, very respected and old medical journal in Britain and in other places as well, and some of his findings had also been reported in the lay press. So we'll see more of Dr. Owen in just a moment, but I've included the abstract and the discussion which we've already looked at, which highlights again for us the fact that more techniques are becoming available that enable us to discover the truth of what Pope John Paul II had said, that there are frequent misdiagnoses, and that even when the person appears to be in a state from which they will not recover, we do not honestly know what is going on in their consciousness, and one needs to use every technique available to try to become more aware of and to try to discover if there's any possibility of interacting with these individuals. Number two points out that there have been other studies, and these are ongoing by other researchers who utilize not only this advanced form of MRI, of functional magnetic resonance imaging scanning, to determine some level of consciousness in patients, but this article from which I've given you this particular abstract represents researchers who are attempting another direction of study, which is an easier kind of test than inviting the person to visually image or try to imagine certain settings as a way of demonstrating that they can modulate brain activity or even respond to questions. This study represents researchers who are trying to find easier and ideally less expensive and therefore more available techniques of evaluating these patients. And number three on this sheet is a description of a little bit of Professor Adrian Owen's work. I mentioned he was one of the researchers who contributed to the original New England Journal article. A documentary of his work with a Canadian patient recently appeared in England, was recently broadcast on the BBC. It probably will find its way into American television at some point. Reports of it have been discussed in a variety of lay journals, and I've given one here from ABC News that describes the fact that Dr. Owen was able to effectively communicate with someone who had been in a persistent vegetative state for 12 years. So this individual was able to communicate the news that he was not in any pain. And apparently Dr. Owen has been continuing to work with this individual and intends to publish his findings in a peer-reviewed, that is a scientific journal, at some point in the future. And I wanted to highlight as well at the end for you to just glance at some of the abstracts and article titles that have included Dr. Owen as a researcher, because I suspect his name will continue to be linked with this work. He strikes me as being something of a crusader in this direction, and despite the resistance that one finds in some parts of the neurological community to acknowledging the significance of these findings, I believe that we have in Dr. Owen someone who will continue to prod those who would like to continue to discontinue nutrition and hydration, prod them into remembering that these individuals need to be involved in that decision. It should not just be a question of someone projecting their own wishes or desires onto a person whose state they regard as pitiful or as inhuman in some way. And again, from the Catholic perspective, this desire is inappropriate, but nonetheless extremely widespread in the medical community. That is to say, the notion that one can legitimately withhold and withdraw care from these patients. So we'll continue to keep our eyes open and be aware for ongoing studies in this area, hopefully things that will make it more possible to determine states of awareness in patients without having to use very expensive or sophisticated technology.